If you would, look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 3. It's where we're going to start this morning. Today's Sunday, April the 26th, 2026. Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to start. I'd like to share some this morning on the topic of healing, which is a very big topic in God's Word. Lots in the Bible about healing. So we're going to read this record in Acts chapter 3. Everybody there? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, that'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, born lame, right? Was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. We might think of the word alms as help or charity. It's important to note that in Bible times, people asked for alms either because they were poor and they needed some financial help, or they did it to show humility because of a certain need that they would have. And the fact that he was being carried every day indicated he wasn't poor. He was showing humility because he needed healing. Verse 4 says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he, the lame man, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We learn in chapter 4 that this man was over 40 years old. He was lame since birth, had never walked. And Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter believed what Jesus Christ had said at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. He that believes on me, the works that I do, how in the world could we do the works that Jesus Christ did? Well, we would do them the way that Jesus Christ did them, with the power of God, by the operation of the gift of Holy Spirit in us. And it's that gift of Holy Spirit in us that enables us to operate the power of God. Manifestations. And two of those manifestations of Holy Spirit are healings and miracles. So verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. And praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Everybody knew it was that guy. They recognized him. You know, he'd been there for a long time. Every day they laid him at the gate of the temple, beautiful. Do you think that this was the first time Peter ever saw this man? Every day at the gate of the temple there. Every day. So the question would be, why this day? Why was he healed this day? When I first got involved with understanding the Bible and learning some things about God's gift of Holy Spirit, and that we as born-again ones have the power to operate manifestations of Holy Spirit, including miracles and healing. When I first learned about that, I said, let's go to the hospitals. What are we doing sitting here? Let's just go room to room. Let's just heal everybody. Why this day? Peter received information and instructions from God. We call it revelation. And Peter, having the Spirit of God in him, was attentive. He was receptive to God, expecting to hear from God. And why not? Why should we not be expecting to hear from God if we have the Spirit of God in us? The Bible says God is at work within you to will and do of his good pleasure. So Peter was attentive. He was receptive, expecting to hear from God. And then he didn't hesitate. He acted. There's two things that are important to note here. Peter believed the information and instructions that he got from God. He obviously believed he had the power of God in him. But he was attentive. He was receptive. And when he got information and instructions from God, he believed it and acted on it. And the lame man also believed. It says he was expecting to receive something from them. And the result of that was a tremendous miracle. Instantaneous healing. And it took both believing from Peter and believing from the lame man. And that's important to note. And what a miracle this was. The man had never walked before in his life. He's like over 40 years old. You ever seen a baby take its first step? I got a video a while back, a couple of weeks ago. My niece is starting to get on her feet there and walk, right? If you have or know of someone who's been maybe laid up in the hospital for a number of days, after that period of time, they don't just bounce out of the bed and start running. You know, it takes a while to get stable on your feet again. A man over 40 years old who had never, ever walked, not only feet and ankle bones receiving strength, which is what God's word says, but you would have to also understand that there had to be something done to his muscles, something done for balance and everything that goes with walking, right? And he was not only walking, but he was leaping, walking and leaping and praising God. I mentioned before that Jesus Christ at the Last Supper said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." The context of that, if you read in John 14, was the coming of Holy Spirit. "The works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." And on the day, right before he went unto the Father, the day of the ascension, Jesus Christ told him, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And a few days later, guess what? That was the day of Pentecost. They received God's power on the day of Pentecost, and they manifested. It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So on the day of Pentecost, they did receive the power of God, gift of Holy Spirit, and they manifested it. And on that day, Peter preached that the gift of Holy Spirit was now available to whosoever wanted to believe. And because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, the power of God, by the way of the Spirit of God, is in every born-again believer. Please look at James chapter 5. We're going to James chapter 5. The book of James is not a church epistle, which we refer to many times, Romans through Thessalonians. The book of James was written to, as it says in James 1:1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. God had James write this epistle to the 12 tribes of Israel who were living in other countries and who had also believed in Jesus Christ. They were people with a background of Israel, Judeans, who were also a part of the Church of God. And this epistle addresses some different topics and specific issues going on there. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. These people that God's word is addressing here, people who were of Israel but born again, often still met in the synagogue. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "For if there come unto your assembly," and the word assembly there in Greek is synagogi. So if anyone comes into your synagogue, and they had elders there that would pray for those who were weak or sick and anoint them with olive oil, according to things in the Old Testament and traditions from the Old Covenant. Doing this for people who are sick is not a commandment to the church of God. We don't read this in the seven church epistles. If somebody's sick, put your hands on them, lay your hands on them, pray for them, and anoint them with oil. We don't read that in the church epistles. But this certainly wasn't considered wrong by God for them to do this. The bottom line and the most important thing to remember is that healing from God is available, and God always honors believing. I think you know there are a whole lot of verses in the Bible regarding healing. Some we're familiar with. He sent his word and healed them. God wishes above all things that we would prosper and be in health. In the Old Testament it says, "I will restore health unto you. I will remove sickness from you." And probably one of the more familiar verses is in Psalm 103, where it says, "God forgives all iniquities and heals all diseases." Healing from God is still available. On Dan's website, which is called Herald Light, that's H-E-R-A-L-D, heraldlight.com, he's got a tab there. It's God's healing. If you go there, you'll see dozens of verses regarding healing. And also regarding healing, this book has really helped a lot of people in terms of receiving healing by getting the word into our hearts and minds so that we can believe it. You may remember this record we just read in Acts 3. Peter did not pray for the lame man. He was walking into the temple and said, "Look on us." And the man looked up, expecting to receive. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, we just read it, and lifted him up. And the man, leaping up, stood, walked, and was walking, leaping, and praising God. So Peter didn't pray for him. Peter didn't anoint him with oil. He just took him by the hand and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up." Pretty exciting, isn't it? Sometime you can read the record in Acts chapter 9, where Peter encountered a man bedridden for 8 years. Can you imagine that? 8 years. And in that record, Peter didn't pray for him. There was no oil. Peter didn't even take him by the hand like he did this lame man at the gate temple. Beautiful. In that record, Peter said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and make your bed." And he arose immediately. Pretty powerful. And again, why did Peter do that? Revelation. Revelation. And obviously, Aeneas believed and got a miraculous healing. In the Gospels, I'm sure you're familiar that Jesus Christ healed many, many people. And there were many people that he personally didn't touch. Some he did. Some were healed when Jesus Christ was not even with the person who needed the healing. Isn't that interesting? Remember the centurion servant went to Jesus Christ for healing? And Jesus Christ said, "Well, okay, I'll come." And the guy said, "You don't need to come. You just say the word and he's healed." And as you read that record, the centurion realized the authority that Jesus Christ had and believed it. And he said, "Hey, I understand authority. I tell this guy go, he goes. I tell this guy jump, he jumps. Just say the word." And Jesus Christ marveled at his faith or believing. And the servant was healed. There's the other record of the Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter that had a big, big problem. She went to Jesus Christ, and remember Jesus Christ said, hey, I'm just sent to the people of Israel. We can't give the children's meat to dogs. She said, yeah, but the dogs get crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus Christ marveled at her faith or believing. In fact, he said, I think I wrote it down here, O woman, great is thy faith, thy believing. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That woman had the believing and her daughter got healed. And there's an interesting record in John 4. Maybe we'll look at that sometime. But this guy came to Jesus Christ. His son was very sick. And he told Jesus Christ, unless you come, and he's going to die if you don't come. It'll be your fault. And Jesus Christ said, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And that's where a lot of people are at today. Unless they see some miracle, they're not going to believe. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Look, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Go your way, your son lives. And the record in that says that the man believed the word that Jesus Christ spoke to him, and his son got healed at that hour. Just remarkable records of healing. Scripture shows us the people Jesus Christ healed believed, and Jesus Christ had the power to heal. You can read in, I think it's in Matthew, where when Jesus Christ went to his hometown, they didn't believe. It says he did no mighty works there because of their unbelief. It said when he got to town, they were like, isn't this Joe's kid? What? We know the whole family. We know his mother. We know his sisters. We know his brother. What? Who? What was his? And it said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief, not because Jesus Christ didn't have the power of God. So it takes believing both sides. It takes someone who has the power of God and to believe instructions from God, and then it takes the person to believe. Look at verse 15 here in James. And the prayer of faith, believing, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The last part of that verse, I think, is familiar to us, to a lot of us anyway. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Look at the context of where that comes up. Praying for the sick. That's pretty interesting. When it comes to receiving healing, we must always, always remember, we must never, ever forget, never doubt that healing is the will of God. God's will is healing. He sent his word and healed them. Healing is always God's will. The reason I mentioned Dan's website and this book is because, you know, whether it's this topic or any topic that we're endeavoring to see results in our lives, it's very important to read, to think, and especially to speak what God said in his word. And whether it's speaking it to ourselves, which is very important, or to others that we're helping. And the reason that's so important is that Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are we speaking? What are we confessing? What are we affirming with our mouth? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I think in terms of what we're speaking in maybe different categories, we can all get better at it. All of us, me too, myself included. I'm not trying to be critical at all, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. What am I saying about my current situation, whatever arena we're talking about? And since we're talking about healing, what did God say? God said, by Jesus Christ's stripes, you were healed. That verse in 1 Peter 2:24 that has both the forgiveness of sins and healing. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes you were healed. That's what God said. That's pretty powerful. Jesus Christ paid the price for all sins and for all sicknesses. By his stripes we were healed. Remember, Aeneas? Jesus Christ makes you whole. That's some pretty powerful words, isn't it? Why could he say that? Because by his stripes you were healed. So, can I then, by the authority of God's word, say to myself, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I was healed. Therefore, sickness, you must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Am I on solid ground doing that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I said I think we can all get better at it. Then in terms of helping others, someone may come to you and say, you know, will you pray for me? I get this, whatever it is, will you pray for me? And God could certainly give you information and instructions at that point. And then you could, because you have the Spirit of God in you, if God gives you the information and instructions, then you can operate manifestations of miracles and healing. If you have no specific revelation from God, you can certainly pray for people, right? We just read that verse, right? Pray for the sick that they might be healed. And we can also pray for people who are not right in front of us. 1 Corinthians 14 says that when it comes to prayer, we can pray with our understanding and we can pray in the Spirit also. And that praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. And in Romans chapter 8, we learn that we might not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit knows, and we can pray by way of the Spirit and make intercession for the saints. It says, according to the will of God. Is the will of God healing?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to close in Psalm 103, if you would turn there. This is a really huge topic, and I decided next week I'd like to continue teaching on this because I didn't want this to go like an hour or something. But I got some stuff I got to share next week regarding healing. Sometimes people can get discouraged when it comes to this topic of healing. And sometimes people can get discouraged because you read so much healing in the Bible. There is so much in there. There are so many different records of people getting healed. Young people, old people, male, female, believers, unbelievers that got healed. How does that work? Naaman in the Book of Kings, was he a model believer, loving God? He was the enemy. Yeah, and we see all kinds of sicknesses, right? Blind, lame, deaf, leprosy, all different kinds. Well, that lines up with what we're going to read here in Psalm 103, all diseases, right? There's no sickness, there's no disease that God cannot heal. As he said all. So if God can heal all diseases, well, then he forgives all sins. If he forgives all sins, then he heals all sicknesses. But sometimes we see all of that in God's word and we don't see it happening right here. And people can get discouraged. And in some areas of our lives, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be whatever category, we may need to go to God's word and pump God's word into our head so that we get to the point that we absolutely believe it. And not only believe it, we're expecting to see it on a regular basis. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, maybe when it was around communion time, that forgiveness and healing are linked together in a number of places in God's Word. We just read it in James, and here it is again. And it's a challenge to accept God's healing if you haven't accepted God's forgiveness. God has forgiven you for everything. We read in the church epistles that He's forgiven us all trespasses, that Jesus Christ paid the price for everything. It's done. 1 John 2 says that Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. They've been paid for, and God has forgiven us. So we have to accept that. And it's interesting that it's so many times in the Scriptures linked together with healing. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. There are some records in the Bible where people were sick for a period of time and then did receive healing. But as you know, there are so many, many records of people receiving instantaneous, miraculous healing. Boom. And you can probably think of some. And you read the Gospels and boom, 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 right? And you read in the book of Acts, boom, boom, boom. And so why not expect healing? Why not, like that song we sang, Dave, expect miracles every day? Because God is still a miracle-working God. God hadn't lost any of His power, hadn't changed His will. God didn't go, you know what? I'm not really that much in favor of healing anymore. I've done a lot of it, and I think I'm maxed out. Oh, Lord, we'd be in the soup then, wouldn't we? We can't expect healing, expect miracles, because healing from God is available. So next week I'd like to share a little bit more on healing. Father, thank You that You are a good God, kind God, loving God, a God of great grace and mercy. Thank You for what Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished for each and every one of us, that we do have forgiveness of sins, and that by His stripes we were healed. Thank You for giving us Your great gift of Holy Spirit, enabling us, Father, to walk with and for You, enabling us, Father, to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. And Father, may we look to You and expect miracles, expect healings. And Father, just do our best to completely put our trust in You, because You are so good and so kind. I pray for everyone here, and I pray for those who are on the hookup this morning as well, and for those that might hear this recording later. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter's shadow. Yep.
Peter, okay, it was Peter. And I heard you. Yes. So.
Healing is available. It is. And so that's where their great expectation and believing was. They knew the power of God was being manifested. And hey, He might not have a chance to talk to me. Maybe the shadow. Okay. God always honors believing. Not our long prayers or crying. Pray on your knees for 5 hours and you might get something. Well, I guess you didn't pray hard enough, long enough. You don't know enough scriptures. And so a lot of it is just, Missy and I were talking about this last week, that in Bible culture, they were very God-oriented. Our culture, not so much. Just means we got to work a little harder to become more God inside minded. So good, we put our effort into it. And at the same time, expect miracles, expect healings. Why not?
People.
Sometimes we individually can go through life with something that we have not received healing. And we know healing's available. So, first of all, it's never God's fault. God is never holding back. So, therefore, well, then you get to the point, well, gee, am I not believing? How do I believe? What? Rather than try to figure out what I'm doing wrong, why I'm not believing. It's just to go harder to the Word and pour more of God's Word into my head. Maybe to unclog the drain somewhere, I don't know. That's a pretty lousy example. But none of us are going to, in this body, none of us are going to live to be like Adam and Noah and those guys. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Eventually, we're going to lose the fight of staying alive. But why should we have to lose that fight at a young age? So, yeah, there's no pat answer, but I know this. Healing from God's available, period. I know that. And I know He's not holding back. So I would just put God's Word into my mind and get to the point where I do believe it. Remember the man that came to Jesus Christ and said, you know, I brought my son here, your disciples couldn't heal him. And then Jesus Christ asked him some questions. His son was in dire needs of help. Little kid throw himself into the fire and the water and stuff. And the man told Jesus Christ, he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And maybe that's where a lot of people get sometimes. God, if you could do it, why don't you do it? And Jesus Christ said, sir, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And then the guy said something that I think we could all relate to. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, but help me where I'm not believing. And so maybe sometimes that's something we can ask God to help us with. Where am I missing it? And that's why, you know, those verses on Dan's website, so helpful to just read verses concerning whatever topic it is we want to get to the point of receiving. And it's not just healing, but there are other topics too. Years ago, I had lunch with a pastor of a church in Mesa. Wonderful man, and wrote a book about prosperity. And he told me that he and his wife were just absolutely, totally broke, poor, and you know, we're trying to do the Lord's work. We don't have, and they just couldn't figure out why. You know, you figure, gee, God, I'm doing all this stuff for you. Well, how come I'm living on a shoestring? Don't have enough car. My car's 40 years old or whatever, and breaking down all the time. And he told me, he said, me and my wife got together and we just went to God's word on verses concerning prosperity and God's abundance, and hours of listening and just totally focusing on that topic, and learned how to receive God's abundance. Got to that point. So why didn't it just take one verse? Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, right? That's what 3 John 2 says. There it is, okay. And there's, for all of us, there's areas in life where we can believe, and then other areas that maybe we struggle at. So it all comes back to getting the Word of God that we need into our hearts and minds so that we can believe it. It's the same with the category of the Holy Spirit, which the Christian church is really lacking in accurate biblical teaching concerning the gift of Holy Spirit. And sometimes when people first are introduced to it, they're like, well, I never heard of this. And it's and so, you know, it may take some time to work God's word into our hearts and minds that, number one, I do have the Spirit of God in me. Yes, I can manifest it. I can manifest all nine. And it may take work. If you were raised, if your grandfather was just a great believer and understood God's word concerning the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and then taught your dad, you grew up in it, it wouldn't be foreign, it wouldn't be so new, and you know, it's the same thing. It all comes back to this book. Got to put God's word into my heart and mind, because this book is the truth. It's God's word when it's rightly understood. And I know healing from God is available. By his stripes we were healed. And it's interesting, one of the manifestations of Holy Spirit, I probably should have mentioned this when I was teaching, is it says in Corinthians 12, gifts of healing. Because healing's always a gift. It's not something we work for. It's not something we earn. It's not something we become worthy of. It's a gift. So isn't that inspiring and encouraging when we need healing? That God said it's a gift. I'd like to give you a gift. How much should I pay you? So anyway, good discussions. It's always good to have discussions about God's word. So healing from God is available, and unless we get gathered together, we'll look at some more stuff on healing next week. Okay? God bless you.